Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Okay, well, here we are. Another fabulous Zoom-based production in which we have, in all sorts of wonderful ways, the ace, artist, actor, writer, general bon vivant, Jonathan Lindsley. How are you, sir? All right?
I'm very well, thanks, Alex. How are you?
Excellent. Well, that's great. And I thought today, actually, we'd kind of go back to when you were over in the States, obviously in California, because we've got the welcome return of a fully socially distanced, mask-wearing Jessica Burtis with us in North Carolina. How are you, Jessica?
Hello. Good. Thank you.
Excellent.
Hello, Jess.
Hello. Yeah.
It's the first time we've seen you with mask on, which is fantastic.
Yes.
although it has to be said, actually, hopefully Zoom calls don't require us to wear masks. Otherwise, I'll clearly have to change things around completely and indeed get visors out and so on. From Gibraltar, now that she's managed to coordinate the right time slot, we're indeed in Gibraltar. It's now actually 8 p.m. in the evening. It's Gabriella Peralta. How are you, Gabriella?
I'm good, thank you. I got the time wrong completely.
I had a very panicked Facebook message from Gabriella saying, I don't know, it's terrible, the alarm went, power cut happened, forgot completely. So it's all right, Gabriella, it's not for another 2 hours. We're okay. It's those time zones. Yeah. And meanwhile, right at the start of this fine day, of course, in California, ace director, of course, where I believe, if my timings are right, it's about 11 a.m. in the morning. Ilana Rain, how are you, Ilana?
We're good, thank you. Yes, it's 11, and happily we have good air this week. Last week, the air was so bad that we basically were all trapped inside, like you couldn't go outside. So it was pretty rough going.
Is that the smoke from your wildfires? Or?
That's right. Yes, we were getting a lot from the ones in Oregon up north. There's also one that's about 50 miles away, but yeah, the smoke was causing very bad conditions. So it took away the things that we were using to cope with the pandemic, which was hikes and swimming.
It's almost as though the cosmos is having a laugh at California's expense, isn't it, Ilana? Never mind.
I would say that. And then to top it off, the night that Justice Ginsburg passed away, we had a 4.6 earthquake where furniture was moving and glasses were rattling. So we just did start laughing in a weird way. Like, okay, let's
bring it on. Bring it on. We're okay. We can cope with that.
I mean, otherwise it's tears. You have to laugh.
Exactly. I mean, I say that with respect to my visors and various other bits and pieces. In fact, just sort of demonstrating the new left cheek look for academic work. It'll be something like that, basically. So there we are. So that's not going to be scary at all, really. And you can read my lips perfectly well. So that's all great.
Can you add something on the title?
I'm sure.
I think you're going to have to fix your lighting, Alexis.
Are you suggesting I should pimp my mask? I mean, for goodness sakes, that's...
You could sell advertising at the bottom of the visor near your mouth for razors or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's a thought, and I think I'll keep it there. Jessica, from what Ilana was actually saying there, given that you share the same continent, North America, is this something which just says, gosh, I'm pleased I'm in North Carolina, or no, I want to head up to the West Coast straight away?
I do feel for everyone on the West Coast, and I hope that you're all staying very safe, Ilana. And I think it's a strange time. Like when I went home a month ago, we had an earthquake in North Carolina. It was very small, but like I woke up to everything shaking, and these doesn't happen on the East Coast. And when I got back from flying from Lincoln back home months ago, there was a tornado the week that I got back. So it was just, it's buckets of fun over here right now.
Climate change, it's accelerating everything.
Yeah.
It's either that or maybe we've never actually recovered from the biblical prophecies of the end times. I don't know. Very confusing. Gabriella, give us some sort of sense of the whole thing, because even Britain has actually had, I think, a small, teeny tiny little earthquake, or maybe that's just Boris Johnson doing his exercises. Gabriella, what's life like in the Rock of Gibraltar?
You know what, it's actually, talking about global warming, it's actually really hot around here. So we're seeing temperatures of 29 degrees. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but it's unseasonably warm for the end of September. So it's like a hot summer's day right now.
Well, there we are. So, Jonathan, as the duly designated head boy, because let's face it, we've done more of these shows over the years than Ilana, Jessica, and Gabriella, who've all come in different levels in all sorts of ways. Basically, I think in terms of order of priority, I think it's Ilana, then Gabriella, then Jessica over the last decade or so. But Jonathan, who would you like to chat to now about life, the universe, end times, filmmaking, working for the Gibraltar Chronicle, or even just social distancing in North Carolina?
I was just, I was interesting because you've got a fantastic geographical spread of people on your show today.
It's what we do, Jonathan.
I'm very impressed. What I was wondering was what sort of lockdowns are in place for, or what sort of coping strategies for the coronavirus are happening in other parts of the world? Because that's quite interesting, because we hear what's happening with us, and sometimes we hear about a little bit about Europe, and sometimes we see disastrous announcements about the worst parts of the world. But I just wondered what, on a day-to-day basis, what it's like in California or in Carolina or in Gibraltar. So can we take it into just to say what are the lockdown rules for you, Ilana?
Sure. Well, the rules are, if you're out in public, you need to wear a mask. If you can't be apart from anyone else. So we live in Griffith Park, basically. So if there's no one walking outside and we don't see anyone, we obviously don't need to wear a mask because we're okay in the park and we're alone. However, if we go in the other direction towards the business area, towards town, it's definitely like expected that you wear a mask. And stores limit customers coming in. There's no indoor dining yet. The cultural institutions are still closed, and that to me is the hardest thing and the saddest, and I mean, yes, aside from the mortality of this horror show, it's our arts and the museums still, so hopefully they're going to slowly open those up, but that's pretty much the extent of it. I consider myself extremely lucky that we have this outdoor area to be able to get through this and not be stuck inside an apartment. So that's very cool.
Oh, that is lucky. And do you have, I mean, we read about anti-maskers and people who are very aggressive about, yeah, not wanting to wear a mask. Do you encounter those sort of people? Have
not,
you seen
not
any
here
of those?
In Los Angeles.
Not
no,
in Los
not
Angeles.
In Los
okay
Angeles, but not too far away south of us in Orange County, there's some right-wing strongholds and very anti-science people, and they're small. It's not that many. It's like most Americans really believe in this. Most Americans want more safety and they believe in the measures, but that vocal minority, they make it seem like it's more because they come to these things with guns, which is its own mental illness. Down in Orange County, like in Huntington Beach, there'll be protests, and there's definitely a change of like the smaller, more conservative towns. You see a lot more people without masks.
Okay. Is that because they're smaller towns or because they're more right wing?
Because I think it's the right wing. I think there's okay a definite correlation. I just came back from a trip to New York City for some family business I had to take care of. And I would say there was 95%, 98% mask compliance. Everyone's wearing a mask, and real
right
masks too, you know, the surgical ones.
Yes.
So that was very interesting.
So, I mean, Ilana, obviously we have this Zoom medium now. The mask that Jessica is wearing, is that acceptable, or should Jessica actually reach for her Kalashnikov rifle as well to actually be at the force of that?
I think it's fabulous. It's cloth, right?
Yes.
yeah, those are great. Those are great. Cloth masks are good.
Thumbs up, which is great. I mean, I don't know about you yourself, Jonathan, but I know, and you've obviously been to California. You've worked for the Disney Corporation. You're in Pirates of the Caribbean, as we know. This does not necessarily go down well with respect to somebody like myself who might be considering maybe going to have a visit to America in the near future. It's not going to happen, really.
I think if I was going to visit America at the moment, I'd wait until after the election. I think I might wait until after the virus is over as well. And then, because I don't know, I'd want to get on an aeroplane, to be honest. I think you're very brave traveling to New York. I presume you went on an aeroplane, did you?
Oh, yeah. No, I did. Yeah. I flew Delta, and they've been very, very strict about masks and cleanliness.
Right.
They only fill the plane 50 or 60%. And I did a COVID test upon arrival. And then once I got back here, so I isolated from my family for a couple of days. I got the results. I was next. So, you know, I was extremely careful. I was outside with my friends. And, you know, if you're careful, it's just a shame you said that about America, because, you know, if you go to certain locations, it's actually quite safe and reasonable.
Yes.
But certain states, yeah, I wouldn't go anywhere near. Like, I wouldn't go anywhere near the deep South, Jess. Not where you are. Like, North Carolina is not, I don't count that. But, like, you know, Mississippi, Alabama, whatever, all those places, you couldn't pay me to go there. But California,
so Florida is out of the question then, Ilana.
Nah, I'd say so.
Gabrielle, I mean, the same question yourself that Jonathan put to Ilana there in terms of Gibraltar. Of course, I think it's about a year ago you were in Las Vegas, if I recall.
Might have been. I think it was 2 years ago, actually,
wow.
Now.
There you go.
Yeah, time flies. Yeah. I had a great time in Vegas. But yeah, about the lockdown in Gibraltar, we're actually having quite... I'm all right time here. We're not locked down as strictly as we were previously. Masks are just indoors and buses and taxis. And we only have about 20 odd cases right now. It's just contact tracing for us has just been key. So we've really kind of been able to reduce cases quite heavily through that. So for us, contact tracing is really what's doing it for us, which is great. Because it's meant that life can kind of return to a semi-normal, even though I'm still working from home. But we don't have a fear of a big surge, and Gibraltar's not heading into another lockdown. Definitely not anytime soon.
So have you got any problems about letting people over the Spanish border and coming in from Spain? Because, I mean, I know Spain's had quite a lot of problems, hasn't it? I mean, and they've got a big lockdown in Madrid at the moment and a lot of other Spanish cities. So I just wondered, has that affected how many people are coming into Gibraltar or how many people are allowed into Gibraltar?
We were advised not to go to Spain needlessly, but we do have around 15,000 Spanish frontier workers crossing every day into Gibraltar. We need them for our economy. Mm-hmm. So that's where contact tracing just comes in, because we have there's a lot of cases in Spain. We're also linked to the UK, where I know there's, it looks like you're heading into another kind of semi-lockdown as it's going now. So we kind of find ourselves as, the analogy has been the dry bush in between the two fires. And contact tracing is basically doing here, we're putting out all the small fires as it goes. So yes, I'm still going to Spain over the weekends every so often. People are crossing. We have to live our lives normally. I'm being told that we do have to live our lives to an extent normally. But I do know that there are people avoiding Spain.
Right. Okay. And Jess, how are things in North Carolina then?
Well, we're trying. North Carolina is very interesting. I think we tend to swing in a little different ways. We have a mask rule in state, so you have to wear mask rules. You do wear masks if you go out in public, if you're on public transportation. Our school has fairly strict rules, but not everyone cares to follow them. There's been a cluster in a sorority lately, so sorority parties are still happening. For
have they been wrestling again, Jess? I mean, I know last week we spoke, it was the wrestling that was the problem.
Yeah, and our football team also had a cluster. So, you know, the school's making some great choices. And the rest of us are just trying really hard to stay put. But I know North Carolina doesn't have any travel restrictions in place, so you don't have to quarantine if you, like, come here or if you go anywhere, which is a little concerning. I think what Ellen was saying, like, once you go into South Carolina, it starts getting a little bit more questionable with how you wear masks. And then once you're in Georgia, it's, like, even less, which is unfortunate for the people there who do wear masks because I think it's become very politicized. Which is very unfortunate.
Do you have exemptions for people who can't wear a mask for one reason or another? I just wondered. We have a thing here that says you can be exempt if it causes great distress, but it's not. You don't have to produce a medical certificate or anything to show that. You just say so, and it's taken on your word. I wondered if that's the same in.
Yeah, I think here, like, it's very humid here, in like the South, so. Even like when I'm running across campus, it can get really hard to breathe in the mask, but
yeah.
At least I just deal with it. But I think if someone has asthma, they're allowed to, like, we can not have to wear it outside, but I think they'll say, like, try and just not go places if you have a condition where you can't wear masks so that you don't have to wear a mask that makes it more difficult to breathe, but also people around you aren't being put at risk by that medical condition,
right.
To kind of have a medium there. So that's what we're doing at the moment.
That's interesting. Thank you.
I mean, for those folk, obviously, in Gibraltar, North Carolina, the latest news, and having just dropped a podcast with Dr. Sarah Jarvis, who has quite rightly argued for the implementation of the track and trace system for a good 6 months, apparently it's now out there, and we actually do have this system, which is working. Well, the United Kingdom has actually seen the highest COVID cases since mass tests began, and Scottish students have been banned from going to pubs. Which is extraordinary, but again, it is that sort of sense. I mean, Ilana, as a filmmaker, is this a case of where would you start if somebody had actually come to you, I don't know, in 2018, 2019, with this as a workable script? Would you say, I don't think so? Or would you say, maybe we'll go there?
Oh, I think it's totally workable. I mean, I think it's, you know, pandemics and have been a theme in many movies. I mean, like Contagion, Outbreak, Last Train to Busan, that which is amazing. It's a little more zombie, but just this idea of something that spreads from person to person. You know, in a weird way, this is almost tame from what it could be. I mean, there are diseases out there. Like
you've got your facey eating, I mean, Ebola, you've got your necrotizing that. There's all sorts of things that could be there.
There's so many. I mean, it's still a horror show. I am sick to my stomach every day that we're not led by this horrendous, you know, malignant, you know, just cruel human being who doesn't believe in science. And then we have 200,000 people dead. However, it's still the fact that it's, you know, I mean, it could be something even worse, and it's not. So if someone said, oh, let's make a film about this, I would say, okay, this would have to be almost like a slow burn, like how this all unfolded.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, very strange times. Jonathan, I think we managed to identify sort of the lines that we've worked through that particular aspect. I won't even talk about the suggestion that has been made by Potos that actually we might have to even just suspend the elections because of the postal services. So yeah, it's just a different line entirely.
I read an interesting idea today. Somebody said that it would be I'd be happier if the coronavirus held a press conference and told us how we were going to survive this government, which I thought was quite
reverse it. Let's
that kind of works everywhere, doesn't it? Yes,
it works anyway. Again, we've got to reach out with love. That's the important thing. Reach out with love. Gabriella, you've been listening to that. Jonathan, of course, is based in England, in the South. Whereabouts are you based, Jonathan, these days?
I'm on the South Coast.
South Coast.
Almost directly due south of London.
So really, the first wave to actually cope with all the Brexit problems which will be emerging in January. So that's all.
Well, we're not quite in Kent. We're not quite, which is southeast of London slightly. But they're now going to have a Kent border, apparently, and they're going to have proper customs posts before you're allowed into Kent. So I think Surrey will then have them, because obviously they won't want to transport the problem over to Surrey.
As a fellow Yorkshire person, you'll appreciate that clearly Yorkshire has been a country of its own for quite some time now.
Absolutely. Well, it'll spread north gradually, obviously. It'll head up to just in the same way that all pop culture spreads northwards gradually from London upwards.
So what is the forecast? Because, you know, Brexit's been a bit eclipsed, to say the least, here in
certainly.
America. I used to follow it quite closely. What's the forecast for this?
Well, I think they're playing brinkmanship at the moment over whether we can have a deal with the EU. And the deal being that we will get a free or freer trade deal than no deal at all. If we get no deal at all, then we end up with lorries and huge numbers of businesses trying desperately to export and import things, and customs duties and customs posts aren't in place, and it will just be a nightmare for several years until they can sort out the infrastructure to build it. They haven't built anything yet. They haven't employed anybody yet. They're talking about things. They've opened a field in Kent where they think they might park some lorries. That's about as far as they've got in terms of organisation. And it's really quite depressing, because, of course, all the businesses that were supposed to be dealing with setting up the Brexit problem have been dealing with the coronavirus and people on furlough and people laid off work and so on. So I think we've got a huge problem looming, which is we're going to have a massive amount of people unemployed, and then we're suddenly going to find it difficult to get medicines and food and all sorts of other things from the EU into our country. And at the moment, I despair a little bit, because our government aren't even competent enough to organise their own people to stay safe or wear masks or not drive around the country. So it's a bit depressing, really. But who knows? We may pull through, you know, the good old British spirit, stiff upper lip and all that. We might survive.
And when you bear in mind, Jonathan, that breaking news that a well-known supermarket chain has now started limiting sales of disinfectant and toilet rolls, it seems as though we're kind of, you know, revisiting where we've already been before. You know, the toilet roll panic is still there. The disinfectant is there. I mean, Gabriella, you know, do you look upon this and say, well, that's why Gibraltar voted 96% in favour of staying with the EU? So there's democracy.
Yeah, we'll follow the UK in its decision to leave. We're still having talks about it as well. I think in Gibraltar, people would want a deal. I understand that the looks of it right now is that we're heading straight for a no deal and crash out of the EU. But yeah, we're following the UK and seeing what's happening. Basically, so for us, it's basically, I guess, like everyone else in the UK, it's a waiting game now and seeing what really happens.
It's interesting. The top story on the Gibraltar Chronicle, of course, your newspaper, Gibraltar access to UK trade, a moral priority and no brainer.
Yeah.
So fun times. So Jessica, as the youngest person here, I mean, does this say, great, this is what I wanted. This is what Generation Z is all about. Bring it on. I can solve these problems.
I think actually a lot of my generation, I feel like we're kind of painted as being nihilists, but I think a lot of us are a lot more hopeful than people think. We're very determined to change things when we see an issue that we don't enjoy. And I think that everything with the masks is kind of an example. I think that, you know, a lot of us know that we're more less at risk, I should say, than other people, but we still want to try and like wear a mask and change it and get people. There's been a lot of people putting posters around campus saying to vote. Everyone's trying to get someone to vote. There's campaigning across campus to sign people up to register, and there's particular counties. So I think everyone's very mobilized to want to change things, even though we're younger.
I think it's your generation actually that gives me tremendous hope. I look at the leaders, you know, like Greta and Emma, for, you know, March for Our Lives, anti-gun movement. I mean, they've really moved the needle. And so mm-hmm. is, you know, for climate. And I think in a weird way, it's like, you know, so I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old. So they're not quite at, and they're boys. So they're a little more interested in video games right now, activism. But I think it's real. Like it's so part of just a regular science curriculum. Like this is about sea level rise. This is about the warming climate. Like it's real to them. Like, oh, so basically my kids might not be able to stay in California or you know what? I mean, mm-hmm. any number of things. So I see that there's a little more mobilization going on and it's inspiring. So keep it up.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we're fairly determined. I think we kind of see that we have no other options but to react to things. So.
And Gabrielle, I'm not sure, would you classify yourself as Generation Z or Generation Z? I'm often discarded, you know, is it Z, is it Z? It's one of the two.
I think I'm too old at 27 for Generation Z. I think I'm in millennial territory. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the millennials, Jonathan, as we know, you know, they're a whole new world, really.
I have to say that I've got my friend's son is 22, I think. He's just graduated, and he sees the world totally differently to me. I mean, he sees the world as kind of endless possibilities, and he's going to be able to rule the world, basically. And I think that's very hopeful. And I also think that a lot of young people I've met recently have been very responsible. Much more responsible. I mean, because I wasn't responsible at 21 or 22 as I was at university and stuff. I mean, I just wanted to party all the time and drink a lot and do plays and be in theatre and have nothing to do with the world. And I think there was probably about 10 years of my life where I wasn't aware of anything politically happening in the world at all. I just, you know, kind of got on with having fun. So I think that's really interesting that younger people are more active. And it's great news about people being encouraged to vote. I think that's a fantastic thing, Jess. And I'm really encouraged to hear that about America generally. I mean, I think it's a fantastic, I know there's been a big push to get people to register to vote, mm-hmm. hasn't there? So right across the states.
A bit of encouraging news. So Virginia, several states have already started voting in person early. And Virginia, lines were on the first day it opened early this week or late last week, record-breaking lines of people showing up on the first day to vote. People were waiting hours and hours and hours, even though they didn't have to because they still have 6 weeks to vote. They wanted to make the statement that we've been waiting 3.5 years to vote this sociopath out of office. And
show him some love, Ilana. Show him some love.
Oh no, those days are long gone. Oh, long gone. We tried in the very beginning. We all were like, okay, he can't be as bad as, and we New Yorkers knew he was disgusting from the beginning, but even still, like, he'll rise to the occasion. We tried, and that was just ever so quickly just.
I mean, it's strange in many ways. I'm not sure whether Jonathan has any views on this, but I feel as though we've kind of gone through the same thing with Mr. Johnson and Dominic Cumming and various other sort of folk from our end, really.
Well, there is a sort of, yes, we're kind of, yes, they're very
except
like.
We've got 4 more years in any case, so what the heck?
We're kind of like it, yeah, it's spread from America, hasn't it? I mean, we've inherited that populist, jolly leader who isn't a politician really, and who doesn't really know what he's doing, but sort of bumbles along and says what he thinks, and a lot of people were sick of professional politicians. I think that's probably the reason why Trump appeared, and I think to a certain extent the lack of professionalism in our current bunch of politicians reflects that same kind of tiredness that people had for whoever you voted for. You got the same kind of professional politician who basically didn't do anything or didn't change anything, didn't make anything interesting happen. And I think people were depressed. And now people are angry, which I think is probably quite a healthy thing. I think it's...
Well, now people realize that perhaps a professional politician understands government and how government works and how government can help people with an organized response. I mean, we still don't have manufacturing of vaccine bottles going on here in this country. Like, they talk about a vaccine. It's like, well, how are you going to make these bottles? I mean, this is, why are all our
surely, Ilana, just invite Mr. Putin to actually help out. He'll sort of assist, I'm sure. You know, I mean, if you're listening, Vlad, you know, it's a possibility. It's a possibility to reach out there. That's
surely they'll make the bottles in China, won't they, Alex?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. After Mulan obviously just went to Disney Plus as opposed to, you know, I think that could have been a deal breaker on that one. But, you know, what do I know? It's the Disney Corporation. They could rule the world as well. Backdrops, we're briefly coming to the end of this whole thing. I think, Ilana, clearly Griffith Park, that, if memory serves, is the location of, obviously, of the fantastic observatory, featured, of course, in so many movies, from Rebel Without a Cause, Leonard Nimoy helped that. How far away are you from the observatory?
Oh, we're really close. I would say it's a half an hour hike up the hill. Like, we're kind of in the foothills of it. I mean, and yeah, it's about a half hour walk, but by driving, it's just a few minutes, but we go there. It's lovely.
Adds to the carbon footprint, or use an electric vehicle. It's one of those two.
We have an electric vehicle. We do.
Exactly. It's brilliant. Now, in terms of, I say, backdrops, were we on Microsoft Teams, I'd obviously have great fun with virtual backdrops. As it stands with Zoom, I like the tartan rug. I'm not going to change the tartan rug. It's going to stay there. Jonathan, clearly, we've got all sorts of portraits and things that are actually around for this. But Jessica, you seem to magically, now that you've actually re-emerged like a butterfly from... darkness that we've had for many months, you press the whole button, you seem to have a different backdrop every week. I mean, we've had students wandering in the background. Where exactly are you now?
Right now I'm in the lobby of my dorm. My roommate is having a meeting right now with one of her teachers over Zoom, so I came downstairs. I jump around campus every day with wherever the Wi-Fi wants to work. So right now you have a view of the rainy outside of my dorm.
This is the 21st century midweek drivers, Jonathan. You see, back in the day when we were in the broom covered in Dulwich, you know, the notion of actually somebody trudging around seeking Wi-Fi signal, it sort of fills one's heart with joy, does it not, Jonathan?
Well, Zoom was only on Star Trek in those days, Alex. We had no idea that anything was going. We were ever going to be able to speak to people in other parts of the world and actually see them at the same time. Mobile phones were the size of bricks, and you know. And the same weight as well as a brick.
And Gabriella, presumably you're in your domestic environment with or without Frodo, the faithful pug.
Yeah, he's at my parents' house. But yeah, I'm at home. That's
what we
it.
Need to know. Exactly. So I think, as Jonathan, as they start off with this, there are certain things that never change. And one of the factors of Zoom, as we know this, but it's a classic catchphrase, those last two questions. Jonathan, would you like to put them to the team, either individually or collectively? Over to
well,
you.
Well, I'm going to go along the line because I've got a line of people in front of me. So first of all, Ilana, have you had an interesting time, and would you like to come back?
She's muted herself, you see?
Yes,
we were lip reading you.
The gardener.
As always, thank you.
Thank you. And Jess, have you had a reasonably interesting time? Would you like to come back?
Yes, please. I would love to.
Brilliant, brilliant. And Gabriella?
Yeah, I have. Thank you.
Thank you for your input. I feel, at least I don't feel quite so isolated anymore, stuck in my house here on the south coast of England. I think
have
everybody's...
Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer, Jonathan?
Me? Yes, very much. I always enjoy your company, Alex, and I always enjoy your guests' company.
Well, there we are. I suppose the only thing we haven't quite got to the stage is how do we actually have that virtual sense of what we used to do post-radio shows in Dulwich, where we would go down to the Greyhound and actually sort of have well, it wasn't even socially distanced in those days. It was a whole new world of things, but still.
Well, we can still go for a pint because the pubs aren't closed until 10 o'clock this evening.
It's not going to happen, Jonathan.
Last order's at 9:30.
I mean, Ilana would have to get on a plane now. It'd have to be supersonic. She'd have to fly over. You know, Jessica, likewise. Gabriella, we're just going to have to hold on that.
I think everybody's got to open a bottle of wine then at some point this evening. Have a drink. Drink a toast to everybody around the world and hope that we all survive till the next time we're all together on this radio show.
So true. Gabriella Peralta, Jessica Burtis, Ilana Rain, and Jonathan Lindsley, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on. And happy Zooming.
Thanks,
Alex. Bye, Alex. Bye-bye. Bye, babe.